Cowdersport to Jeffersonville, Martinsburg to Pittston, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the May 17th primary election is rapidly approaching. Pennsylvania voters will be selecting nominees for U.S. Senator, Governor, and Lieutenant Governor. Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting is here with a preview. Are you a good listener? In this month's Community Benefit Spotlight, Joe Geiger talks with Tom Caden and Michael Gingrich, authors of Listening 2x2, A Paradigm Shift for Leaders. And a better federal budgeting process would lead to more cost-efficient government. Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania explains why on this week's Lincoln Radio Journal Commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. State government is flush with money. The Commonwealth collected $6.5 billion in total taxes during the month of April, setting a one-month record for the amount collected. That was $1.8 billion over revenue estimates. For the fiscal year, which began last July 1st, revenue collections are $4.5 billion above estimate. State coffers are also overflowing with billions in federal dollars, supposedly sent to help deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. As lawmakers and Governor Wolf prepare the fiscal 2022-23 budget, which must be approved by the end of June, the governor is wanting to ramp up spending while Republicans are urging caution. Wolf wants to pour billions more into public education, which already received billions in federal COVID funds. Republicans are warning such higher levels of spending will be unsustainable without tax hikes in future years. Have you gotten your Real ID yet? Real ID is a type of Pennsylvania driver's license that 1 year from now will be required for domestic air travel. That requirement was set to go in effect in 2020, but has been delayed 2 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The regulation, however, will go into effect on May 3, 2023. Real ID is a federal requirement, and the license will also be needed as identification to enter any federal building. You can get your Real ID at any Pennsylvania state licensing center. The Pennsylvania House of Representatives has taken the first step toward empowering families to choose K-12 educational options other than traditional government schools if their school is in the bottom 15% of school attendance areas based on state testing. According to the Center Square, parents of students in those schools would receive a scholarship to offset costs of choosing an alternative academic setting that meets their child's individual learning needs. This, however, just a first step. The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Governor Tom Wolf is term limited and cannot seek re-election, and U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is retiring. So in just a few days, voters will go to the polls and select candidates who will then compete in the November general election. It has become a tradition for veteran political consultant Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting to join us before each election to give us an overview of the races. Chris, welcome back to Lincoln Radio Journal. Chris, we have a unique situation here in Pennsylvania where for the first time since 1958, we have open seats for U.S. Senator and for Governor of Pennsylvania. This has led to very large fields of candidates in most of these races. So let's start out with U.S. Senator. Pat Toomey is retiring. The Republican field has been very competitive.
Absolutely, Loman. And people, if they've been watching TV or checking their mailbox lately, they understand there's a hot and heavy primary going on. So on the Republican Senate side, you have seven candidates running. President Trump, former President Trump, about 3-4 weeks ago endorsed TV doctor, celebrity doctor, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who recently moved to Pennsylvania from New Jersey. The other top competitor there is former hedge fund manager Dave McCormick, and then the other three kind of very credible, hardworking candidates are conservative commentator Kathy Barnett, former U.S. ambassador to Denmark Carla Sands, and our 2018 lieutenant governor nominee and real estate developer named Jeff Bartos. So that's kind of the top five. In a poll my firm did almost a month ago, it showed McCormick with a slight lead over Oz, but that was completed just before President Trump endorsed Oz. So that has kind of thrown the race into some turmoil there. But as I've said before, Lohman, with all these choices, people should be able to find a candidate that they like at least a little bit with all those different types of flavors there.
In the intervening time, there have been some polls which are suggesting that Oz is in the lead, although Chris, at this point, there's still a very large undecided. What do you attribute the fact that we have such a large undecided when this race has been going on really since last November, December?
Yeah, it's true, Lohman. In the poll my firm, Eagle Consulting Group, did, undecided was in the mid-40s. So as we get closer to the May 17th election, that, of course, will go down. But part of it is I think the Republicans have a field with a lot of good candidates in it. So it's not like there's just one or maybe two that stand heads and tails above. On the Democratic side, there are four candidates. The three main ones are Congressman Connor Lamb from Pittsburgh, our Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, also from Allegheny County, and State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta from North Philadelphia. So the Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman has been raising the most money. He has kind of a oversized personality and physical presence, has been on a lot of the cable TV stations over the last couple of years. And like I said, has raised a lot of money. So he's been in first place there, followed by Connor Lamb, the congressman from Pittsburgh, who was won three times in a district that Trump carried and cuts himself a more centrist Democratic, more Biden type flavor, whereas John Fetterman's more so in the Bernie-crat area. And then Malcolm Kenyatta, the state rep from Philadelphia, is black. He is openly homosexual, and he is running a race, I think, where he knows he doesn't have a lot of pressure on him to win, that this first time is kind of a free ride. He's a very smart campaigner. Mm-hmm. He's racked up a lot of labor endorsements, although interestingly, Connor Lamb from Pittsburgh has gotten most of the Democratic Party in Philadelphia endorsements. So the order right now, if the polls are correct, would be John Fetterman, the lieutenant governor, wins the nomination, followed by Connor Lamb and Malcolm Kenyatta. So whoever wins on the Republican side, if Fetterman wins for the Democrats, that sets up a very stark contrast between a very conservative Republican and a very liberal lieutenant governor.
Do you see a lot more difference on the Democrat side here between the candidates? Seems like all the Republicans are pretty much saying the same thing. They're trying to differentiate themselves based on personality and loyalty or perceived loyalty to Donald Trump. But the Democrats seem to have a real choice between the traditional your father's Democrat and the new progressive socialist Democrat.
I think on the surface that might be right, Loma, but when you get down to particular issues, I don't see that. For example, on the same night, the Senate Democrats had their second TV debate and the Senate Republicans had their live statewide debate. And at the same time, all the Republicans were saying that they would vote to prohibit abortion in some cases, in all instances, and in other cases, just for the life of the mother or rape, incest, and life of the mother. All three Democrats were essentially saying they would put no prohibitions on abortion.
We are talking with Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting. We're talking about the upcoming May 17th primary election. The other big statewide race, Chris, is the race for governor of Pennsylvania. A done deal on the Democrat side. You have Attorney General Josh Shapiro as the only candidate. But on the Republican side, nine candidates.
You know, Lohman, in most cases, an open seat for governor would be the top dog in the state. But because of the Senate primary and so much money being put in by several of the Senate Republican candidates, they've kind of obliterated that. So on the Republican side, you have nine candidates running. And as you said, just one on the Democratic side. So There are no Mr. Moneybags or Mrs. Moneybags candidates in the governor's race, although former Delaware County Councilman Dave White has put in $3 or $4 million of his own money. So you've got a more spread out field. You've got candidates from all over the state, obviously, as you would think, with nine different candidates. And there again, I think you have, if you want a very Trumpy Republican, you have a choice. If you want a more traditional Republican, you have a choice. If you want someone from the Philadelphia suburbs, you have two choices at least. From the heartland, you've got a couple choices there too. So this has been one that's been difficult for the grassroots to rally around, in part because the state party decided not to endorse in either the race for governor or the race for Senate, which on the Republican side is a new development. They've always endorsed in my past 30-some years being active in state Republican politics. So that kind of set up a scramble. So you've got different counties endorsing different candidates in their own regard, but that's only in that county. You've got folks campaigning all across the state, seeing more and more TV ads and brochures. So this could be an instance where the first person, Lohman, to 24 or 25% wins. And in Pennsylvania, as you know, we don't have a runoff. Mm-hmm. So if you get one more vote than the second place person, you're in, whether that's 20% or 60%. In a southern state, we'd be definitely heading towards a runoff and you'd have different strategy happening now. So I'd say there are at least five candidates on the Republican side for governor that you could look at and say, oh, they have a decent shot of winning here at the last couple weeks as it goes on. So please, you know, Google Republican candidates for governor. I don't think I have time to name all of them here. And you will be able to find, I think, someone who fits your bill. They have been – one thing I think they will have an advantage in, Lohman, over Attorney General Shapiro is that – on the Republican side, these gubernatorial candidates have probably had, by the end of the day, 25, 30, 35 debates, forums, candidate meetings, that sort of thing. So they've really been able to sharpen the rhetorical edge. I was the spearhead of the first gubernatorial debate in the state on January 5th back at Dickinson College. And we had 13 of the 15 – we had even more candidates than Lohman. We had 13 of the 15 candidates show up. And then I see those that are still in now, and their message is sharper. Their language is crisper.
Yep.
So they have really been battle tested. So I think that will give them an advantage, at least in the beginning, over Shapiro, who's really just been preaching to the choir without any pushback, which of course his candidates love that.
And just a shameless plug, a forum was held at the recent Pennsylvania Leadership Conference. And if you go to paleadershipconference.org, you can watch video of the Republican candidates for governor, all nine of them, and seven of the eight candidates for U.S. Senator. We would be remiss to not mention one other statewide race that's taking place. In Pennsylvania, Chris, we nominate candidates for lieutenant governor separate from governor. Then in the general election, the governor and lieutenant governor run together. You cast one vote for both on each party. There is a very active race for lieutenant governor, actually, on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. I mean, Pennsylvania is one of, I think, only two or three states that do it this way. So when voters go into the polls on May 17th, they'll cast a vote for Senate, they'll cast a vote for governor, then they'll cast a separate vote for lieutenant governor. And the winner of the governor's race and lieutenant governor's race are mashed together and they become the ticket for either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. So it's a state where the lieutenant governor candidate nominee doesn't really owe anything to the candidate for governor unless they've teamed up with them. On the Democratic side, Attorney General Shapiro has endorsed one of the two Democratic candidates for lieutenant governor. On the Republican side, I think there are six or seven candidates for lieutenant governor. So yes, and we've seen in a couple administrations past where the lieutenant governor has either become the acting governor for a while or finishing out a term or lots of things like that. So it's an important position to elect, even though lots of people dispute whether it's an important position once you get inaugurated.
We have been talking with Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting about statewide races that are coming up on May 17th. We would also need to mention there will be races for Congress and for State House and State Senate. Don't have time to get into all those today. But, Chris, if folks would like to learn more about Eagle Consulting and listen to your podcast, your TV appearances, where can they go to get that?
Our website is eagleconsult.com. On Twitter, we're at Eagle63. I am the Republican analyst on the only statewide public affairs show in Pennsylvania called This Week in Pennsylvania, which airs Sundays across the state on various local broadcast TV stations.
Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting. Chris, as always, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Loman.
Listening is a skill that requires practice and effort. In addition to founding an organization that offers a friendly ear, Tom Caden and Michael Gingrich have written a book entitled Listening 2x2, A Paradigm Shift for Leaders. Joe Geiger has them in the Community Benefit Spotlight.
Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Tom and Michael, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program today.
Great to be with you.
A few months ago, we had a conversation with you about your program, Someone to Tell It To. From that, it seems, evolves a book. But for the sake of the listeners who were not listening to the program back then, could you give us like a 60-second overview of your organization, Someone to Tell It To?
We'd be happy to. Michael and I are the co-founders and the co-chief encouragement officers, and we did found the organization 10 years ago, past January in 2022. We say that we have been combating this epidemic of loneliness and disconnection that's been happening around the world with the rise of social media and technology. We've found that people have just increasingly become more disconnected, and you know, there's so many statistics out now just citing this epidemic of loneliness that, for example, like in the United Kingdom, they had over 200,000 older adults would go an entire month without talking with anybody. And so this is a real problem, and we've been trying to address it through our organization by providing compassionate listening, where we help the world to listen. So we have direct service listening for individuals, groups, and organizations that reach out to us through our website, someonetotellto.org. And then we also provide training and education resources for groups, organizations, and businesses, and hence why we just most recently wrote a book.
Let's talk about the book a little bit. Listening 2x2, A Paradigm Shift for Leaders. How much of the organization, Someone to Tell It To, inspired the book, or is this something that was on the burner for a long time now?
So both, yes, the organization and what we do absolutely inspired everything in the book. And it kind of has been on the burner for quite a while now to write something like this, to talk about and to share with the world the importance of listening and how we do it, what's worked for us, and what we know has made a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of organizations and cultures.
We would often cite a psychologist by the name of David Brenner, who would often say that the problem for most of us is most of us think that we're good listeners. And that right there is probably one of the real reasons that people don't approach this with seriousness, because it's a real problem. And we wrote this book because we're helping organizations to be better listeners, to build cultures that are caring and more empathetic. There's studies out now. I think in December, Forbes magazine had an article that came out that empathy is the number one leadership trait in workplace culture right now. And in order to be empathetic, you have to be a good listener.
Listening is hard work. We're never promising that it's easy, but it has to be intentional. You have to want, you have to pay attention, you have to notice, and you have to be willing to put barriers out of the way, to set aside the kind of time you need and the kind of mind space you need in order to hear and absorb what other people are saying.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio program. My guests today are Tom Caden and Michael Gingrich, who are the co-founders and chief encouragement officers for an organization called Someone to Tell It To. You developed a technology in this program, the importance of using the technique of listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. Could you address that for us?
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that this pandemic and this looming shutdown that we've all had to experience in the last couple of years is that it's just continually bringing communication and listening to the top of everyone's list of priorities and skills to develop. we've heard in a lot of articles that they talk about this great resignation where people are leaving organizations because they're burnt out, they're stressed, they're not satisfied. We actually prefer to use a different term, the great reprioritization, which comes from Fast Company magazine, where we think that it's just far more positive, that we just need to reprioritize some things. How do we make people and work cultures better? How do we make work cultures better by creating a space where people feel valued and that they feel as if they have something to say and that we want to hear from them? So we created this LISTEN acronym. We had author and leadership expert Ken Blanchard, who has written the book, The One-Minute Manager, wrote the foreword to the book. And a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to head out to Ken's home in San Diego. And Ken told us one of the reasons his books have always been so successful is that he wrote short books that leaders could read on an airplane flight of 2 to 3 hours. So we had this vision where we'd write a book that leaders could read in a 2 to 3 hour airplane flight, how to boil down some of these principles that we've learned over the last 10 years of over 15,000 listening interactions and listening hours with individuals, groups, and organizations, and how to simplify it. So we created this LISTEN acronym that's very, we think, manageable. It's something that's practical and hands-on that you can implement in your company quickly and easily.
We need to listen to understand, but mostly what we do is listen to respond. You know, we're listening, okay, what's our answer going to be? What are we going to say to what this person is saying? You know, we're thinking about that as opposed to really taking in and noticing what it is they are actually saying and meaning.
And you've developed a training program that goes hand in hand with the book, I understand, that's gotten some very good reviews.
We've been in existence for 10 years, and we've been doing trainings in one form or another throughout those 10 years. But in the last probably 3 years, we have been able to develop a listening team beyond Tom and myself, professionals, many of whom are trained educators and experienced educators. And they are doing a great job at taking the principles and the values of someone to tell it to and sharing them with individuals, with organizations, with groups, with workplaces throughout this country. And actually, we've been able to do this work because of the technology to connect with people around the world. You can find it online by going on to Amazon, just typing in Listening 2x2, and it should come up pretty quickly, and it can certainly be ordered there. Barnes & Noble also is carrying it. It can be ordered online through Barnes & Noble as well.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio Program. My guests today are Tom Caden and Michael Gingrich, who are the co-founders of an organization, Someone to Tell It To, and authors of a book, Listening 2x2, A Paradigm Shift for Leaders. Gentlemen, you're doing terrific work out there. Congratulations and thank you. Back to you, Loman.
Congress has not followed the regular budget process for decades, leading to chaos and overspending. On this Lincoln Radio Journal commentary, Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity, Pennsylvania, makes the case for better budgeting.
We last discussed Americans for Prosperity's national True Cost of Washington campaign, designed to educate Americans across 9 states about the truth behind rising costs while offering real solutions to make everyday life more affordable. Well, on May 3rd, we hosted our first event at a gas station in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we offered 1,500 gallons of discounted gas for $2.83 a gallon. By turning the clock back to January 2021, when $2.83 a gallon of gas was the reality, we were able to have conversations at the pumps with scores of local residents about the real costs of the Biden, Schumer, and Pelosi agenda that is making life unaffordable for Americans. We discussed the need for unleashing energy independence when we last spoke, and today we'll dig into the second set of policies that can help our nation get to a better place, ending wasteful Washington spending. We can cut government spending and beat inflation through better budgets. Budgets match resources with outcomes. Ideally, they fund core competencies while recognizing limits and trade-offs. The federal budget process, especially Congress's stage, does not meet these goals. Congress goes through the motions of putting one together and appropriating all government spending, but despite appearances, there is no real comprehensive budget. Congress only manages 30% of spending each year. The federal government has no rules to control over spending and deficits. Congress balanced the budget from 1998 to 2001, but before you give it a pat on the back, you should know that's the only time it's balanced the budget in the last 50 years, and our national debt has exploded from 32% of GDP in 2001 to nearly 100% GDP today. Massive government stimulus spending during the pandemic hasn't helped either. These trillions of dollars in new spending overloaded the economy and kickstarted the inflation we are experiencing today. It bears repeating, the more money the U.S. government prints and pumps into our economy, the worse the situation becomes. The amount of money in the U.S. economy increased by 41% from February 2020 to February 2022. Economic output, however, only grew by 3%. A healthier process can produce better results by harnessing the distributed knowledge that members of Congress can access. Congress needs a real, comprehensive budget with all spending and revenue in it. And this is possible through what is known as a unified budget. A unified budget would reveal trade-offs across fiscal policies, help reduce overlap among programs, and control the exploding debt. Another solution is for Congress to adopt smart budget targets that control the debt and promote economic stability. The Business Cycle Balanced Budget Amendment, proposed by Senator Mike Braun and Rep. Jody Arrington, is a constitutional amendment proposal to balance the budget over the medium term instead of each year and would require two-thirds approval for emergency spending. Braun also teamed up with Rep. Tom Emmer to introduce the Responsible Budget Targets Act to transition to balancing the budget over multiple years rather than annually and to offset emergency spending over the following 6 years. When we next talk, we'll discuss the third set of policies in our True Cost campaign, cutting the red tape that keeps prices high. Until then, please visit www.truecostofwashington.com and email your legislators now and let them know that removing antiquated regulations, creating energy abundance, and stopping out-of-control spending must be their priority. We are grateful for your partnership in scaling these critical policy solutions. I'm Ashley Klingensmith, State Director with Americans for Prosperity, PA. Find us on Facebook by searching at PAAFP and on Twitter by searching at AFP Pennsylvania.
If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 27 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WMCE-FM in Erie, WZSK-AM in Everett, along with 5DRadio.com in Fraser, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Plug Into the Pulse of Pennsylvania.